Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Do any of these things sound familiar to you? You're smart, capable, and want to make a difference. You have fears of rejection, of failure, of success. You worry about what other people think. You're held back by lack of confidence. You sometimes second-guess yourself. You use paralysis by analysis as a procrastination tool, and you sometimes fumble for words, unable to speak quickly enough or coherently enough to get your ideas across. If you said yes to even one of those statements, you're in the right place. Patty Kay is on a mission to help people overcome the fears that get in the way of doing their thing. She's a blogger, motivational speaker, and nonconformist. Patty shares this about herself on her website. I'm an optimist and an idealist. I'm an INTP and an Enneagram 5. I'm a Gemini and a Canadian. I'm a recovering computer geek, yet I don't like gadgets. My philosophy is that life is absurd. Laugh. Make fun of stuff. Be you. Everyone else is taken. Show up as yourself, even if being yourself means dressing inappropriately, saying what you really think, and risking looking stupid. Have fun. Practice awareness and acceptance. Be kind to yourself and others. And animals. Be kind to animals. And listen to Jimmy Buffett. The best way to know Patty is to experience Patty, and that's what we're here today to do.
Welcome to the show, Patty. I am so excited that you are joining me today.
And I am super excited to be here.
Awesome. So when I looked at your website and as I read about you, I thought, you know, what questions I would ask you. And I thought, where do I even begin? Because there's so much that's interesting about your life and what you're doing. So I thought actually a very logical first question would be, what are you wearing?
Well, you know me, corporate classic, mm-hmm. Skirt, pantyhose.
Absolutely. High heels, like 3 inches and, you know, lots of hairspray. I'm guessing lots of hairspray.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I wear pajamas out in public. You just don't want to know what kind of ratty clothes I wear.
And so you're kind of known for wearing pajamas out in public, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Yeah. And so what are all the different kinds of situations that you're out and finding yourself in your pajamas?
Everything from going to the grocery store to going out for dinner. And yes, I've taken planes in my pajamas.
That would be comfortable, actually.
It is. It's extremely comfortable for traveling, and there's no pockets to empty. It's much quicker to get through airport security. The bunny slippers, they come off really quick.
No retying of shoes. I love it.
And they don't even look at me sideways, which surprised me. The first time I got on with the pajamas, I thought, oh, I wonder how the security people will feel about that.
But it was nothing. Wow. Didn't blink an eye. I bet they've seen it all. So who knows? But one of the things that I was impressed with is that you conduct business in your pajamas, as in, like, you go networking and you've done your motivational speaking in your pajamas. What was it like when you first started doing that? Like, what was the first experience?
The very first experience is when I went to a professional speakers conference, and the dress code, we got this email beforehand, and the dress code said business or business casual. And I had this idea that I was going to do this Seth Godin thing and be a purple cow, show up as motivational speaker who wears pajamas. And when I got that last minute email about business casual, I've had this little panic, like, oh no, they're going to turn me away at the door. What's going to happen? But it all turned out really well. I was extremely nervous when I first went in, but it turned out really well. I had people approach me and they were extremely friendly, and I had some people totally avoid me. But I don't think they would have approved of me anyhow. It was really nice. It was a really instant way for my right people to come up and talk to me.
Yeah, because I think I've read on your website, you know, if people don't get me, then they don't get me right away, or they don't get that part of me, they're probably not going to get me at all. And so I'd rather be spending time with the people who do get me and are attracted to what I have to say and what I'm wearing.
Yes, exactly. And the people who did get it, they got really comfortable with me right away. There wasn't a whole lot of small talkers. Right away, they were telling me, you know, that they sleep naked.
Boy.
Well, they'd say something like, oh, wow, I wish I would have thought of that. You look so comfortable. And I'd say, well, go back to your room, get changed. We'll start a new trend. Mm-hmm. And that's when they'd say I would, but I don't own any pounds.
Uh-huh. Get to know each other pretty quickly there. Well, I love what you said about the purple cow piece. Because that's really what I'm sure that you were probably the only person there in your pajamas, and that stood out.
Amazingly enough,
shockingly. From what I've read, you know, part of the pajamas, it's exactly what you said. Kind of, it makes you comfortable, and then it sounds like it also makes people who are attracted to you comfortable as well.
Yes, that seems to be what happens. I guess people see me, they get some sort of an idea of who I might be like as a person, or, you know, oh, wow, she looks kind of interesting, or maybe kind of not. Interestingly, I've had people come up and talk to me and not mention them, too, which is, that feels kind of strange.
Yeah, I bet. That would be strange. Yeah. I can't imagine. Well, you know, it wasn't... It hasn't been your entire life where you've gone out in pajamas. and one thing I was curious about was, you know, how did you get to this point? You know, so where you were confident with going out and being that purple cow, and what was going on perhaps maybe 5 years ago or so that was that started this transformation for you?
Well, 5 years ago, when faced with that sort of a situation, I would agonize over what to wear. I'm not very good at dressing myself, I guess I put it that way. I've always felt kind of uncomfortable about, you know, what is appropriate clothing to wear when, and I've gotten it wrong. I've shown up at conferences with business clothes when everyone is wearing casual. I've shown up at conferences when everyone's in casual or everyone's in business and all I've got is casual. It's like I can never quite guess right. Mm-hmm. And whenever I went out, I always thought, oh, what am I going to wear? And I was so worried about my appearance and whether or not my clothes would be appropriate to the situation that I got caught up in that. It just made me more nervous about attending the event. And then when this last thing came up, all I had was pajamas. I signed up for the conference. I was living on a boat in Mexico. So I had shorts and t-shirts and pajamas. That's all I had with me. So I was faced with this prospect of, oh, I'm going to have to fly to Las Vegas for this conference and then go shopping and try to find appropriate clothes. It was just so stressful. And that's when I got that purple cow idea. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm.
And so what were you doing before, like you mentioned being on a boat in Mexico? Can you talk a little bit about that and what took you there?
Sure. About, I guess just over 2 years ago now. Oh, I had a whole bunch of crises happen in my life. My husband died, and my mother died, and, well, actually, he was my ex-husband. But, it was just this sort of an existential crisis, I guess you could call it, this middle age sort of thing where I go, oh, my, what is going on with my life here? And Joe and I had this idea, you know what? Maybe we should just do all the things that we've always said that we wanted to do, like sell our, you know, sell everything and, you know, go traveling for a while. Take some time off, sort of a sabbatical or a mini retirement kind of thing. And we actually went through with it.
Lots of people talk about it. Not a lot of people do it.
Exactly. And we did it. We sold everything within about 90 days from deciding that we were going to do it to doing it. We sold everything. We took 6 days of sailing lessons.
Wow.
Then we drove to San Diego and we bought this old boat. And we learned to sail it up and down the coast of California for a while. And then we set off and we sailed 1,000 miles down the Baja to La Paz, Mexico.
Wow. What an adventure.
Yes, it was. It was an adventure, and it was a transition. And it was doing one of those things that that people talk about but never actually get around to doing. And yeah.
What do you feel like was the biggest thing you learned about yourself in that experience?
Oh, that I'm capable of doing so much more than I think I am. You know, if you would have suggested 5 years ago that, oh, yeah, you're going to buy a sailboat and with hardly any sailing lessons, you're going to travel 1,000 miles, 50 miles offshore. Yeah, I would have laughed. You know, it would not sound at all like something I would do.
Yeah. So speaking of things that you, you know, that sounds like things that are stretching for you, you know, you're an introvert. We haven't talked about that yet, but that's one of the things that you blog and speak about is being an introvert and being at least having a very shy side. And stretching into doing blogging and motivational speaking is quite the out there activity. What brought you to putting both of those activities kind of front and center for yourself?
Oh, that was a long journey. I heard my first motivational speaker probably 17 or 18 years ago, something like that. I was this super shy administrative assistant, and I was working in a real estate office, and the whole group of us went out to listen to a day-long motivational speaker workshop thing, and I had never been to anything like that before, so it was the first time I ever heard a motivational speaker, and it was amazing. It was, like, amazing. That was my introduction to the idea that there was such a thing as personal growth, and that you could make different decisions, and that you could go after dreams. And I'm listening to this person talk, and I'm seeing the impact that they have on the whole room. You know, all these realtors came into the meeting, they were all grouchy, and it was, oh, why do we have to listen to this stupid thing? And, you know, an hour later, they're all perked up, and they're all charged up about what they're going to do with their careers, and they're just on fire. And I think, wow, it's just amazing that this person could actually do that. And then I heard this little voice at the back of my head that said, I want to do that. And it's like, I was like literally turning around, like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Who said that?
Yeah, exactly. Here I was, you know, I'm working as an admin assistant because I'm afraid to phone people, and therefore I, you know, too shy to even become a realtor. And I'm getting this idea that, yes, I want to stand up on the stage and do motivational speaking. So that was like the first indication that I wanted to do that. And it took, probably 7 years from that point before I got up the nerve to join Toastmasters and learn how to do public speaking.
And so you joined Toastmasters. And how else did you start to put yourself out there and be speaking in front of people?
Mainly through Toastmasters. I've been with Toastmasters for over 10 years now. I started off, just, you know, attending the meetings and getting up and speaking for my 2 minutes and then sitting down and shaking for a while because it took me a long time to get past that fear. Then I started entering the speaking contests. Toastmasters has 2 speaking contests each year. One's humorous and one is more of a motivational. And I entered both of those contests and I did fairly well. I got up to what they call the district level, which is all of British Columbia. And, yeah, larger and larger audiences, and I was getting really good feedback, and it was getting more comfortable. The more I did it, the more comfortable I got with it, and I was starting to really enjoy it.
So what do you have any tips or thoughts on what you learned about making it more comfortable and having more confidence that if somebody listening to this who's interested in doing speaking might benefit from?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Toastmasters, for sure. They're warm and fuzzy and clap-happy. They're very, very supportive. The thing about Toastmasters is you're walking to a group of people where probably 90% of the people who join because they were terrified. So they totally understand. If you come in and you're nervous, like, they get that. They will stand up at the front of the room with you if you need them to. I've seen people like run out of a meeting in tears because they were so afraid, and have, you know, another member go and chase them down in the hall and talk them down and then walk them back into the room and stand at the front with them while they got past their fear. It's very, the fear of public speaking is huge for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You get nothing but support when you go to Toastmasters. And from being in that position, like when I first got up to speak, I was afraid I was going to pee myself.
And that didn't happen, did it?
No, it didn't. And it's actually kind of too bad it didn't, because that would make a really funny story. You know?
It would great make a great story, but it's still...
But I'm also addicted to telling the truth, so I can't really, you know, make it up. But I was scared. The first time I got up to speak, I lasted exactly 17 seconds. But now it's fun. And I think what it is you just do it over and over and over and over again. It gets easier each time.
So what about the blogging piece?
The blogging piece? I wanted to blog ever since blogs first came out. But totally, totally afraid to show something that I had written. It just felt really exposed to write something and put it on the internet. So I was really afraid of doing that. But I had this idea that I wanted to write, and I thought that what I wanted to do was write a self-help book. I had this idea in my head that I wanted to help other people like me, that I'd been through this journey from being super terrified to this place where I was feeling a lot more confident, and I wanted to help others, you know, travel the same road, maybe in a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed up for Barbara Sher. She's a famous author, of course. I signed up for a workshop that she offered, which was, you know, how to be like Barbara Sher, basically. And that's what she does. She writes books and she speaks. And I thought, yes, I want her life. So she had this Write Speak workshop, and I went there. And that was last November. And it was lovely. It was 15 women who all wanted to write books and speak. And it was very supportive. It was wonderful to be around people who wanted to do what I wanted to do and to have them encourage me to do it. And as soon as I left that retreat, I started the blog, and of course I had my friends from the retreat. They would read my blog, and then they send me encouraging notes. And that was hard. The blogging was really hard. It's 9 months later. I sometimes get nervous when I go to hit that publish button, and I joke about, you know, I'll publish a post and then I go and hide under the bed. It's really, I do. I publish the post and then I have to turn my computer off and I have to walk away from it. Still a little bit tough for me.
It sounds like, though, you're recognizing and having compassion for yourself, for what it takes to put yourself out there and make yourself vulnerable that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think I could do this if I wasn't compassionate towards myself. And it's hard enough to do it without, you know, having your inner voices beat you up for it.
So when your inner voices start kind of beating you up, what's your response?
My response is to look at what I'm saying and ask myself whether I would say that to a friend of mine. You know, trying to be my own best friend is not always an easy thing to do, but I find when I step back and I listen, I go, oh, what kind of person am I being to myself?
How has, you know, we touched on this a little bit in terms of being an introvert, but how has it influenced how you approach the things that you're taking on in your life?
Being an introvert? Oh, when I learned that I was an introvert, that totally changed my life, because it changed pretty much everything that I do. Because once I realized that my introvert preferences are okay, I could cut myself a whole lot of slack about things. I used to beat myself up because I wouldn't feel comfortable going to a lot of social gatherings and getting out there and networking and doing all of those things that I always thought that you're supposed to be and you're supposed to do. So once I cut myself slack there and said, okay, that's not going to work. Do this in a smaller way. For instance, going to networking events, I used to think, okay, I have to follow the advice that all of the books say, where you have to go and talk to X number of people and you have to cut the conversation short. And instead of doing that, I would go and say, okay, it's good that I'm going, and if I make a really good connection with one person, then yay, that's a victory.
Thank you for putting that into perspective, because I think a lot of the, it might have been you where I read this, but I remember reading recently, you know, a lot of those networking books and tips are written from an extroverted point of view and making certain assumptions about your comfort level going into an event. And so they're very goal-oriented.
In yes. terms of,
how many people you meet and who you talk to and how long or short your conversations are. And you've really said, okay, this is what works for me. And you're setting an intention before you even go in the room to say, number one, yay me, I'm going.
Yes.
Woohoo. I know it's true for me. It's like just getting out the door and getting myself there. And then number two, saying if I make one meaningful connection, then it was worth the time. And I give myself credit for that.
Yes, exactly.
And so reframing that whole experience to be suitable and good from our introvert standpoint takes a lot away of that supposed to language that you were talking about. So Patty, I've had the privilege of spending some time on your blog, and I know that you write a lot about moving past your fears. And what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear. Oh, thanks for asking, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't beat around the bush, you know. Nobody gets off the hook here. So have at it.
Well, I've always believed that I had a lot of potential. And I think my biggest fear is that if I finally get over all my little fears and actually go out there, put myself out there, and attempt to live up to that potential, I'll discover that, no, I actually didn't have any potential at all.
So it's kind of like fantasy might be better than reality?
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, uh-oh, then what? What do you do when you run out of potential?
Yeah. So you know, how do you move past that particular fear?
How do I move? Oh, I drink.
Profusely. No.
I know
it's called liquid courage that I know that a few people partake in, but
it helps every once in a while.
Uh-huh. And what else? Oh, what else do you have in your toolkit?
Yeah, I have some other more reasonable coping strategies. Yes. Lots of self-talk. I'm a logical person. So I can quite often logic myself into doing stuff. And, you know, starting with, you know, okay, the thing that I'm afraid of, is it life-threatening? And if it's not, then I start to ask myself things like, well, will it matter a year from now? Will it matter 10 minutes from now? You know, how badly can I mess it up? And my all-time favorite question, like, what is the absolute worst thing that can happen? And then I imagine that thing happening. And then I exaggerate the heck out of it. And I imagine either telling that story on the stage and making fun of it or writing a blog post about it. And usually I get it so over the top, I start laughing and I think, oh, that would be really cool if that happened because that would be a great story. People would really like it. And when it gets to the point where I almost want the absolute worst thing to happen, I usually feel pretty good about going forward at that point.
Mm-hmm. Because you know you can handle whatever happens, and it's going to give you a good story.
Exactly. And you know what? Having things turn out really well are not the best stories. It's, you know, it's really kind of boring. I remember I did some stand-up comedy, and it was just the best stuff was when I talked about stuff going sideways. I mean, stand-up comics who stand on stage and say, oh, wow, I love my life, I'm happy, and I have this great relationship and all this. It's like, they're boring. We want to hear about how they lost their job and how their girlfriend, you know, broke up with them via email or something like that. That's where all the humor is.
Yeah, well, I think of those, you know, funniest home video shows, and some of the funniest videos are people falling down. You know, I don't know what it is, but I'm like, why is it so funny to watch a person fall down? You know, hopefully they haven't hurt themselves. That's not so funny. But listening to you talk and thinking about that, it's like when we are vulnerable with each other, it's not only about the humor, but it's about just connection.
Oh, yeah, huge. It's connection. And you know what? I think we want to see that somebody has had something horrible happen to them. And they've lived to tell about it, and they're happy, and they bounce back, because it happens to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You are not alone.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And you know, when people just always project success, sometimes I think, oh, maybe I am alone, because I'm not like that all the time. Show me some real.
Yeah, yeah, get real. Because then we can really, yeah, we don't feel alone, and we can then actually start to have real conversations and dialogue about what's really going on, and then we can start to move past it and move forward and shine our light better.
Exactly.
Take off the masks.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it be great if everyone did that?
Yeah, yeah. No more masquerade. So when you just shared a little bit about how you psych yourself up for something that is a little scary. Any other tricks besides, you were sharing your self-talk technique? What else do you use to pump yourself up?
I try to put it completely out of my mind. I think that's part of it too. It's like I just turn off my mind and I stop thinking and I start doing. And I find that even taking the smallest little step forward, like for instance, phone calls. I'm not very good with phone calls. Phone calls make me nervous still. I have trouble picturing the day when picking up the phone will not make me feel a little bit nervous. But I'm finding that the nervousness ends the minute I have lifted the phone up, or actually I don't even have a physical phone now. Now it's when I start dialing with Skype or something like that. As soon as I actually get into an action place rather than a frozen, paralyzed thinking place, the fear tends to go away, and I'm noticing this more and more, especially public speaking. I'll get nervous before I get on stage, but I notice it's just even the act of walking towards the stage, the fear just sort of subsides.
That really resonates with me because I'm often thinking about, and I think introverts, this might be a common refrain, is that we can get in our heads a lot. You know, we can overthink and overanalyze and suffer from that. What is it? Paralysis by analysis.
Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate what you're saying because I'm always thinking, how do I get out of my head and down into my heart or down into my body? And what I hear you saying is take action, move, do it. And that is part of how we can move past the gerbil wheel of thought that we can get caught up in.
Yeah, it sounds really simplistic, doesn't it?
Well, what is it? The straightest line between two points is, or the shortest line between two points is a straight line or something like that. You know, sometimes it is simple and I like to make things complicated, So.
Yeah, me too. I have a talent for that.
Yeah. So, I appreciate simplicity and I think we need more of that. So you are sharing something very important there. So, one of the things you've talked about on your blog is, and you've used the phrase fear bashing. Yeah. And I'm wondering what does fear bashing look like for you?
Well, when I think about fear bashing, I think about it's like I take this fear that I have and then I blow it up and I think, okay, how can I take this thing on in a really, really big way, like over the top? For instance, I used to be afraid of heights and I went to a personal development retreat, and one of the things they had us do is put on a safety harness, climb to the top of like a 40-foot telephone pole, balance on the top, and then jump off. And they would have people there with the safety line, so it was totally safe to do. But I was the type of person who couldn't get three steps up a stepladder. Mm-hmm. So there I am, shaking when I'm, barely 3 or 4 feet off the ground. I made it all the way to the top of the pole. My knees could hardly hold me up. But I jumped off that pole. And then after that exercise, we had to walk on a tightrope. Like we spent the whole day up in the trees sort of thing. And what I noticed afterwards is that my fear of heights, my normal fear of heights, everyday stuff, standing on a chair to change a light bulb, taking an elevator, looking down a window or something like that, things that used to bother me don't bother me at all after that experience. I even went and did one of those tree climbing things for fun. Zip
wow.
lines, walking tight ropes, that sort of thing. I could not have imagined doing it.
Yeah, that's daredevil.
Yeah, but it was just seemed like it was like I was taking on all of the fear all at one time, and I was getting rid of it, in 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting your shot you know, your vaccination or something. Just get the worst of it over with all at once, and then you don't have to suffer later.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I mean, even the time I wore the pajamas to the speakers conference was another one. I left a whole lot of my fear of mingling, networking, and dressing inappropriately at that conference.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm sure made an impression on other folks that perhaps, you know, helped them get some perspective. And that's the word that keeps coming up as you're talking for me, is perspective, getting a grip.
Yeah, very much so. It's the perspective, you know, being on the top of that telephone pole and jumping off, it changes the perspective of the stepladder.
Stepladder's not so scary anymore.
No, not at all. And the idea of going to a conference in regular grown-up clothes, not that I own any, but if I did
of course
own
not.
Them.
Exactly. So speaking of, you know, going to conferences and out in public in your pajamas, I'm curious about what you have up your pajama sleeve.
Well, if you were talking to my grandmother, she would advise me to keep my tissues up the pajama sleeve.
Smart woman. For when you get up on those big telephone poles, you know, you never know if you're going to need a Kleenex when you get up there.
Exactly. I'm allergic to everything. Probably air way up at the top of the pole, too.
Yeah, so next to the Kleenex, what have you got?
Next to the Kleenex? Oh, well, I think that it's probably really important for me to start making a living. Otherwise, my second biggest fear, which is, you know, something about living in a cardboard box and eating cat food.
Fighting with the cats for the cat food.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't like to share.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's making a living, starting my business, putting my ideas out there, sales, marketing, those sorts of things, more of those networking conferences and pajamas. So that, yeah. Those are the fears I'm taking on, and it's like I can make a whole list. Well, I just did make a whole list of things that scare me.
And I'm remembering on your website, I don't know if it's a blog entry or just a video, but it seems to me you have a snippet of you making a list in front of a group of people at a conference or, you know, a workshop of things that scare you.
Yes.
I thought that was awesome.
They got a good laugh out of it when I shared that list with them. It's interesting. A lot of these things that I'm afraid of, a lot of other people are afraid of them too.
Again, that's that perspective of a not alone and making connections. So it sounds like we're going to be seeing more of you probably online and in person on, you know, the conference stage as time goes on here.
Oh, that would be totally awesome.
I really
love that. I love doing workshops. I love being on stage. And I'm looking at some ways that I can do this sort of thing, you know, a motivational speaker from my living room kind of idea. So on the telephone, that kind of thing. It's like, so many opportunities, so many different ways of doing things.
Yeah. Well, and I hear you saying, you know, you've got a particular passion, you've got a particular talent, and you're going to forge your own way that honors you and your needs and your introversion. Be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's one message that I would just love everybody to be able to embrace, it's like, yeah, be yourself. We can waste so much time and energy and effort towards trying to be someone that we're not, trying to please other people, and it's just, oh wow, you're okay. Whoever you are, like deep down inside, you are like totally okay.
Thank you for bringing that home so clearly. So, you know, you're going to be out there, out and about, and expending a lot of energy, whether it's from the comfort of your living room or out on that conference stage. And at some point, you're going to need a vacation. So I'm offering you an introvert island vacation, all expenses paid. But the catch is you've only got room for three books in your suitcase. So I'm curious about what you would take and why.
Well, I don't think I would take any books because I'm pretty certain that a place called Introvert Island would have a lot of libraries.
Smart woman.
Seriously, I defy you to find me an introvert that doesn't read.
Exactly. Yeah. Books coming out our ears.
Yes, exactly. I live at the library. I couldn't afford my book habit otherwise. I go to the library. I come back with, you know, half the stacks with me. And then I forget to return them. And
right.
They charge me fines, and I don't even mind paying the fines. It's like, yes, I'll support my local library.
Again, wonderful perspective. I just love how you tie everything together.
Well, aren't libraries the most wonderful things in the world? They just be able to go there and get all of these books for free. It's like, how awesome is that?
Yeah. So I'm curious about, you know, obviously you have a love of books and reading. Say you had to choose, you know, for the rest of your life, you could have everything on a Kindle or some sort of electronic device, or you could have books. What's your preference?
Wow, you know what? I like books made out of paper,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, I don't like having to store them. I don't like the idea of trees dying for them, and I'm becoming more and more accustomed to reading on a screen, and I don't have a Kindle, but I suspect I could get used to reading electronically. I need to be able to take that book and curl up on the couch with it, or the device or whatever. That's the requirement.
Yes, I hear you. Because I'm like, you can't, it's like curling up with a Kindle just doesn't quite have the same ring. And what you're saying is true about storage and trees. And even when you move, the books are besides the refrigerator or, you know, some other major appliance, they weigh a ton.
No kidding.
So your island is going to be, I'm hearing, you know, libraries for sure. And maybe there's, if you spent long enough there might be an electronic device that would make some things more portable as you move around the island.
Well, yes, otherwise those books would get stale.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And what if it rains, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it won't rain on Introvert Island, will it?
Well, that's true. I think it's going to be 75 and sunny all the time. Good point. So Patty, how can people learn more about you and all of your adventures in fear bashing?
Oh, everything I do is all on my website, blog, thing, internet presence at www.pattywithaYK.com.
And K is just the letter.
And K not- is just the letter. It's a divorce thing, you know.
Oh.
I got the K.
What do you mean?
Got the rest of the
That's great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Patty, for, you know, being here today and sharing both your, you know, your experiences and your humor and your beautiful perspective. And I know that you're going to be taking on every fear and basically bashing it to a pulp and doing some great things in the world. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Cool. Thanks. And you'll come back sometime, I hope.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Patty Kay for joining us today. And thank you for spending this time with me. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me, along with other introvert entrepreneurs, on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.